Hey guys, welcome to the Crypto Catch-Up. I'm your host, Pav, and that's it. It's just me today. Ted's feeling a little under the weather, so thoughts and prayers go out to him. Did he have a big weekend? Or was he actually sick? We'll find out next week. But in all seriousness, I wish him all the best. But, you know, that's not going to stop us here today. It's not going to stop us bringing you what matters about the crypto space. So, going to rough this alone. I'm going to try my best not to bore everyone to death. But yeah, I thought this would be a good opportunity just to run over general health of the markets. Where are we sitting this week? Go over some pretty key news from last week and why it was such a big deal. Some pretty key macroeconomic news coming out of the US. So promise I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but just going to quickly cover base on that. Look at some altcoins as we usually do and see what sort of news articles are kicking around at the moment. But to kick things off, let's talk Bitcoin. So we've had a great Monday, woken up and put in about, I think we're already up 4 to 5% for the start of the week trading, back above the all-time high, which is this level here of $69,000. For those of you listening, you can catch us on YouTube these days as well, and you can see me as I'm charting these things out, but I'll try my best to sort of describe it as well at the same time. But that's a big deal. So all-time highs, we've all sort of heard in the past, I'm sure you've seen it in your own research, all-time highs being breached means a little thing called price discovery, where there's nothing on the left to really garner anyone's sort of bias. We're all sort of running to chase what the next key level might be. And we're seeing this across some altcoins already, which is pretty cool to see. But the broader general market is kind of sitting on almost like this precipice of breaking out, it looks like. Well, at least at the moment. But for Bitcoin at the moment, it's awesome already at the start of this week to see us above this all-time high, especially after, you know, a weekly close, which wasn't bearish, wasn't bullish, kind of in the middle. We had swept the previous week's lows, but came back above that level, which was 64K. So from a sentiment point of view, there on weekly candles, quite good. And we put in three consecutive green days now, starting from Saturday over the weekend. So we're seeing the weekend as well close up green as well, which is a good sign too, just from just general perspective that it's mainly retail trading on the weekend. So the fact that they're buying means that there might be some more interest coming in on that front as well. But a lot of, I guess, this positive sentiment potentially overnight might be drawn from two things, in my opinion. We did last week see the Federal Open Markets Committee in the US. They essentially set the interest rates and they forecast how the economy is looking and where it's going. And what's been, I guess, the issue on that front or uncertainty is that there has been 2 months consecutively now where there has been heightened inflation fears. So a bit of key metrics in the US showing that the cost of living has been creeping up steadily in the last 2 months. So the thought process was, cool, well, they did the projections back in December last year. Have these elevated numbers now changed their targets and forecasts moving into the rest of the year? And the answer is no. There is essentially an onus that they will be keeping an eye on it, but the relative strength in the labor market and just general growth of the economy as well, the Fed, they're happy and they're sticking to their targets of rate reductions this year with all eyes pointed towards probably the next meetings to sort of find out when that could be happening. But it seems like with high certainty that towards the middle of this year, we might see a rate drop. There was even a statement made in the press conference afterwards that should the market show jitters, especially the labor market, that there might be calls for action needing to be taken sooner. So whether that's a sooner rate drop than expected or some sort of stimulus package, it seems like the US policymakers at this stage are ready to step in if needed, but what's happening is to plan. And what that means for us is if interest rates drop, cash gets cheaper, the sentiment towards on-risk assets tends to drive higher. So that's what we've seen in crypto in the past as well. And we've only seen on the weekend as well, the US President Biden signing off on a $1.2 trillion spending bill. So they're already flashing the cash to say that they're ready to spend. This was a package mainly designed to help the, I think it was a bill that government funded through the fiscal year. And there was some notable elements in there of like defense forces as well, getting pay bumps. So all in all, it seems like spending is on the cards, which is good for on-risk assets. So it's all sentiment, right? Like that's all that this is tracking. And what we've seen, yeah, again, a couple of green days, we'll see what that is, if that is mainly due to that or something else is happening in the market. But a big player that can't be missed at the moment is the focus around ETF flows. So the exchange traded funds in the US, that's kind of been driving, I guess, a lot of the tailwinds. It's been suspected for the last couple of months where we would have potentially experienced without that institutional demand, a bit of a pullback leading into the halving or post-halving. It seems like Bitcoin's done nothing but want to go vertical. So, I mean, if I, on this chart, zoom out to, again, that weekly chart, there's really not been too many opportunities where the market has pulled back more than 15 to 20%, you know, since October last year. That's, again, been a trend that just hasn't stopped. So for me, I'll be keeping an eye on these ETF flows, which you can do as well on this website called farside.co.uk. Very fancy table, but essentially, like we spoke about last week, you're just waiting for these figures to update from the different products to show how much more Bitcoin has been purchased by these institutions and thrown into custody to hold on behalf of their holders. So right now, Fidelity's had released their data. They've gone back to double their 14-day average. So $261 million purchased overnight last night, and 144 is their average. So with BlackRock, that's obviously the leader in the space so far. 266 is the 14-day average. So when that data lands in the coming days, you'll want to see, I guess, for more bullish sentiment or positivity in the market, that these institutions are continually buying. So if we keep seeing that figure in the black, close to that 14-day average, or if it's even above, I would personally look at that as, pretty positive sentiments in the market. And like I mentioned, the precipice of all-time highs, we'll see what happens there. But I thought this is all sort of fitting to this tweet I saw on x.com. Say tweet post, I guess I could say these days, at NetSayXBT, sort of likening the price and market structure the way he's seeing it previous cycles to now. So we have had, leading up to the halving, this breach of an all-time high, a retracement, which I guess is what we've experienced recently. And then the next time it goes to cross, in the past, it's been off into the races. So don't know if it's going to happen again this time, but a pretty interesting data point. Couple that with the fact that the macroeconomic underlying conditions seem like they haven't changed. They're still in the realm of spending is on the cards. And, you know, stock markets are in all-time highs. It really seems like the narrative is for higher, for Bitcoin specifically, until proven otherwise. And that's a key part of it. Like, we're just waiting for something to show us that this isn't the case. So a lot of people obviously sidelined waiting for lower prices, but I mean, the reality is it may not happen. And again, when it comes to price discovery, might be a great time to start setting up watch lists potentially for yourself too, if you're trying to work out what altcoins you're going to buy. Once these markets do start to move, assets in price discovery tend to move a bit faster than those that aren't. So not saying that that's a way to look at approaching an investment or trading strategy, but just another thing to potentially look at when creating your watch list and doing your own research. All right, so I think it's time we move on to some top movers. So this week's been, I guess, again, a lot of the movement come just in the last 24 hours with, again, that surge on Bitcoin really just breaking through a lot of the selling that we've seen about 9 days ago that started. I mean, the dip itself, like I mentioned, I think it was like 15 to 17%, just dipping towards that 60K level. Ever since then, I guess these are the assets that have bounced back the hardest. And what's notable here is, for me, there's this new project here that I did a bit of research into, Ondo. Essentially, it's up 104% in the last 7 days. It's a project that's backed by the likes of Coinbase and Pantera Capital. So two of the big guys, the big swingers in the league. I mean, to see that, that's quite interesting too, and worth looking into further, just on my perspective. But essentially what they're offering is institutional grade finance solutions on chain. So, you know, with traditional money markets, you'd often find yield in things like bonds, just even the US dollar, and again, just international money markets. That's what Ondo is looking to do on chain and provide it that way. So I haven't done too much digging other than that, but on a surface level, it seems like it's backed by some pretty big names and serves to solve a problem. Those people looking to, I guess, park their funds in more stable yields will have that sort of option right now. So that's been an interesting one to look at. I've noticed Lido staking there. I haven't seen that in a long, long time. So liquid staking on Ethereum, maybe becoming more of a trend and on theme since the Dencoin upgrade. And that's another thing I'd probably say to look out for. At the moment, not seeing too many of the L2s on here, but I can see IMX, OP, even projects like DYDX that operate on those sort of layer two protocols. The Dencoin upgrade was really a big one in terms of improving the scalability and usability of these L2s on Ethereum. So I wouldn't be surprised to see if there's maybe some new announcements, new projects, new dApps, new improvements on these layer twos that sort of maybe get announced soon as well that could affect price as well. But at the moment, that's been an interesting one to see as well. STX, I think I mentioned this a few times on the podcast, Stacks, 33% so far in the last 7 days. Just want to call that one out particularly, just from my own research, tracking, I guess, Bitcoin DeFi, or, you know, building on Bitcoin as a bit of a narrative, potentially this cycle, especially with all the institutional attraction that's come to Bitcoin as well. So STX really offers the infrastructure for a lot of those decentralized apps and functionality to exist. So that's been up quite a few times over previous weeks as well. So just going strength to strength there as well. With the NVIDIA conference, it wouldn't be surprising to see some AI tokens on here. The really ones that I'm just able to see at the moment is AGIX. I know Near Protocol has thrown its hat in the ring of AI as well. So that's showing a gain of 6% at the moment. And then we've got some layer ones that are showing some strength as well, which we've noticed as a theme for the last couple of months now. So CAS, which lately has been quiet, but, you know, overall it's up quite a bit since 2023. Phantom, FTM. So I know they're releasing, if not, they've already released their middleware upgrade to be potentially better than the Ethereum network as their selling point. So that's potentially one to keep an eye on as well. I've got Rune. We've got the likes of Ton. So the Telegram chain, that's been pretty popular too, and right up there in terms of market cap as well. And yeah, the list goes on. There's not really too much else I can see here. Conflux network, that's been quite frequent. Arweave's been a bit of a top performer as well. Decentralized storage. So I guess the thought process there is with the link to AI and infrastructure needs for data storage, assets like Arweave will potentially get more popular. So that's there as well. But then there's the ever-looming meme coin frenzy that I don't see stopping anytime soon unless there's a good enough reason for it. Dogecoin, interestingly, finally playing a bit of catch-up. So that's up 22% in the last 7 days. But we've seen, you know, the likes of Floki, that's still there as well at the moment, 26%. Pepe, 20%. Etc., etc. But all in all, it's good to see again the markets in a sea of green. And I dare say if the markets do shape up to be, you know, showing strength to strength this week, we could see some pretty interesting trends develop during the week. So yeah, again, great times to be creating watch lists if there's some assets that you've been keeping an eye on to see what's performing for you. Other than that, we can look into some crypto news now. Now, the SEC is looking for, I guess, something to do at this stage. As always, they're always trying to wash someone down. At the moment, it's Ethereum, specifically US-based companies that have interacted with the Ethereum Foundation. They've been issued subpoenas by the SEC. So the overall arching theme here is trying to peg Ethereum as a security. Now, whether or not this is just some FUD like we've seen in the past, or whether there's potentially some merit behind this one, we'll have to wait and see. But I like this little tweet from Sam Lin on Twitter as well, who I'll quote him right now. If Gary looks slim, so Gary from the SEC, it's because he's been eating nothing but his words since 2018. Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash. Why did I name these four? They're not securities. So basically calling it that in the past that Gary has himself quoted that they're not securities, but they still keep going after them. So whether or not there's a higher plan or agenda, some sort of tinfoil hat thing going on right now, it definitely creates some sort of shakes and stirs leading into the Ethereum ETF decision, which is in May this year as well. So, you know, whether or not this is just something that we saw similar to when Bitcoin's ETF was being developed, lots of FUD leading up to the subsequent approval of the ETF, time will tell. But that's another thing I'll be keeping an eye on as well. And hopefully we'll have some updates on the podcast, just how those applications are going as well as we get closer to the date. Some other good news just from a adoption point of view, London Stock Exchange is launching crypto ETNs or exchange traded notes as of May. So the big piece of this one is that ETNs or exchange traded notes aren't the same as the spot ETF that's currently on the US stock exchange. So the difference being on the US ETF stock front, any Bitcoin that's bought or sold will actually affect the underlying supply of Bitcoin. That entity will then go to their custody solution, which is at this point usually Coinbase, and then settle that remaining balance at the end of each day or throughout the day. What the ETNs are most like is just a derivative. So the bank is issuing the underlying value of the asset to give people exposure, but it doesn't go and actually hold it on behalf of the purchaser at all. But what it is essentially a positive news piece, at least, that the London Stock Exchange is okay with the idea of crypto products, crypto native products as well, being listed on the stock exchange in some sort of way, shape or form. You know, historically across most exchanges or stock exchanges, we may have only seen, you know, some sort of ETF that gives people exposure to companies that are exposed to the crypto space, like, yeah, like Coinbase, like the like of MicroStrategies, etc. But to see this actually carrying the underlying valuation of Bitcoin or Ethereum, You know, that potentially sets up the door to be open for a more formal spot offering in London as well. So that's an interesting one as well from my perspective. Look, other than that, there's not a great deal to really unpack in terms of what could be moving the markets this week. We know there are some pretty key technical price levels that I'll be looking to see breached and broken on Bitcoin specifically to sort of see where the markets could be going moving forward. But I guess one thing everyone's wanting to know potentially right now is when does alt season start? That's definitely been a bit of a theme on Twitter so far. The best gauge that we have for something like that is two things. Historically, alt seasons have started after the Bitcoin halving, which is still expected to be around that mid-April point. And also when a little thing called Bitcoin dominance, so BTCD is the ticker, when that guy reverses. So in a nutshell, if Bitcoin dominance is going up, it means that Bitcoin is making up the majority of the market cap that's in the crypto space at the moment. So we've seen it on a general uptrend now since obviously November 2022, even though the whole market was going down, a lot of those altcoins were likely selling off and receding into Bitcoin as a better store of value, even during the bearish months. But right now, on the charts that I've got, I've mapped out a key area anywhere between 60 to 67% dominance, where we could see Bitcoin dominance get to before it has its subsequent reversal after the halving. But that's not to say that that has to happen, right? Like a lot of these things, they are just charts for charts. But I guess what we can see at least is an underlying trend, right? It's either pointing up and to the right or it's pointing down and to the right in terms of what it looks like on a chart. And at this point, it's been moving sideways with the more of a recent move up and to the right. So until this guy starts pointing downwards, very simply put, we likely won't see a fully fledged altcoin cycle start. But that doesn't say that we won't see overperformers like the likes of Solana continue to show strength even more in the face of Bitcoin going higher as well. All it means is that some of your favorite altcoins or ones that you've been holding on to since previous cycles, they might not actually be able to start moving in any meaningful way until likely after the halving. So again, another way to set up watch lists too. So you can look to see what altcoins right now are continuing to outperform or keep up with Bitcoin as it rallies. Is it rallying? And it tends to be a lot of the newer coins or the more in-demand assets. So that's just another way as well to set up watch lists. But look, that's it for today. Hopefully some insights to garner from what we covered today. Likely a big week to come if the Bitcoin ETFs do continue to show that they're buying. And again, now that the underlying conditions, the bit of uncertainty has been removed out of the market regarding interest rates and where the general economy in the US was going, because that is their greatest export at the moment, their economy, we do sort of follow the cadence and sentiment that's in that market as well. So big week, hopefully ahead. But look, guys, that's it from me. Thanks so much for joining me. Again, check out our YouTube channel if you haven't already to keep up to date and see some video content of all the stuff we're producing here in-house. And if you like what you're seeing, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, gang.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to the gram and join us at Tapping Into Crypto. And before we finish up, just a general disclaimer that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. And the opinions on this podcast belong to individuals and are not affiliated with any companies mentioned. Any advice is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek out the help of a licensed financial advisor. We'll talk to you soon.